वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिपोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी।
यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। So when I was in the Boy Scouts many years ago, we used to go camping in the forest areas around Bombay, in the wooded areas. And the scout master would play a game called a tracking game, where they would divide us into two groups. And one group would go with the scout master and the other group was supposed to find them. So they would leave half an hour earlier and they would put marks along the wooded trails, maybe break a small leaf or break a stick and put it there, or a little shoe mark. And so then the second group, leaving half an hour later, was supposed to find the original group where they have gone, because through the wooded area sometimes it was very difficult and you had to follow very subtle clues. And ultimately, we would come to an open area where, again, the trail would end. And if you look up, you would see the scout master with some of the scouts up on the trees and a couple of them hiding behind the trees. So the same is the 10th chapter. Bhagavan Sri Krishna has given us track marks, how we can find the Lord. That's why it's called the Vibhuti Yoga, where he has given us his Vibhutis. And through certain tracking, you can reach the Lord. And here the example is if you see a beautiful flower, or you see a person who is very talented, who is very brilliant, or an artist, or a poet, or a scientist, or an inventor, or a discoverer, these are the tracks that can lead us to the Lord, or a beautiful sunrise or sunset. So that's what the 10th chapter is, where the Lord has given us his qualities and how we can see the Lord in the world. And the 10th, from the 7th chapter onwards, basically the topic is the Lord himself, his nature, his grace, his blessings, and how we can find him. That's what Arjuna would like to know. And we have seen so far in the last week where we did the first three shlokas that the Lord is the material and the efficient cause. He is the creator of the universe and has himself become the universe. So the universe is not secular or sacred. We divide things as, okay, this is secular, this is sacred. So a temple is sacred, but the office is secular. In the home, the prayer room is sacred and the other rooms are secular. But what the Lord is telling us in the 10th chapter, that everything is sacred, the whole universe, everything is Him. And that is how, so instead of dividing up the world, we see everything as God. And that's why in Hinduism, they worship even plants and trees, like the Tulsi plant is worshipped. The Ashwatha tree, the peepal tree is worshipped. The Vatavriksha, the banyan tree is worshipped, where Lord Shiva gave knowledge to the Sanat Kumaras. We also worship animals. All the gods and goddesses have their vahana, their vehicle as animal. Like Bhagwan Ganesha rides on a mouse, Lord Shiva on a bull, Lord Vishnu on a Garuda, Mother Durga on a lion. The Lord Shiva has snakes around his neck. So the point is that this shows that all animals are sacred and should be worshipped, should not be killed for food or for our pleasure, because they are all divine. And similarly, we worship rivers. The Mother Ganga is worshipped because she comes from the Lord himself and then feeds millions of people on both banks. We worship the mountain, like Kailash Mountain and the other mountains, because the Lord is present. So that is the idea of worshiping these things, that everything is divine, everything is Lord. And today we shall talk about two aspects of creation, the subtle and the gross. The gross creation is what we can see with our eyes, you know, the what we can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, the homes and our, the people and animals and birds and fish and the houses and mountains. And the subtle is what we cannot see, but we know, that is our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings, and the certain characteristics and the predisposition and vasana. So those also we will talk about, that the gross world is also created by the Lord, and the subtle world of thoughts, emotions, concepts and ideas is also the Lord's creation. So the first two verses that we do today, verse number 4 and 5 in the 10th chapter, will talk about the subtle aspect of creation. And next week we'll do verse number 6, which talks about the visible or the gross aspect of creation. So we'll chant numbers 4 and 5 together. Chapter 10, verse number 4. Buddhir jnanam sammohaha.
Buddhir jnanam sammohaha.
Kshama satyam damashamaha.
Kshama satyam damashamaha.
Sukham dukham bhavo bhavaha.
Sukham dukham bhavo bhavaha.
Bhayam cha bhayam eva cha.
Bhayam cha abhayam eva cha.
Ahimsa samata tushtihi.
Ahimsa samata tushtihi.
Tapo danam yasho yashaha.
Tapo danam yasho yashaha.
Bhavanti bhava bhutanam.
Bhavanti bhava bhutanam.
Matta eva prithag vidaha.
Matta eva prithag vidaha.
Okay, so just to go over word by word meaning, buddhi in the fourth shloka. Buddhi means knowledge, intellect. Buddhi means the intellect. Jnanam is translated as wisdom. So here it is interpreted as knowledge, the intelligence, and the ability to put it into practice or apply it in our life. So that is buddhi and jnanam. Then asammohaha. Sammohaha means delusion. Asammohaha means non-delusion. So that's the third quality. Kshama is forgiveness, satyam is truth, dama and shama. Dama is control of the senses and shama is control of the mind. Then next, Bhagavan gives three pairs of opposites. Sukham Dukkham, joy and sorrow. Bhavo Bhavaha, being and non-being. Birth and death. Existence and non-existence. That is Bhavo Bhavaha. And Bhayam Cha, Bhayam Abhayam Evacha. Bhayam and Abhayam, Abhayam is fear and fearlessness. And in the fifth verse, Ahimsa is non-violence. Samata is equanimity in all situations. Tushti is contentment. Tapa is austerities. Danam is charity. Yasha, ayasha is fame and infamy. And then Bhagavan says, Bhavanti bhava bhutanam. They become the qualities of the individuals, of the beings. And where do they come from? Bhavanti means they arise from whom? Matta eva prithag vidaha. Prithag vidaha means all these variety of different qualities of individuals arise from me. So these are all subtle qualities of the mind and intellect. So we'll just do them one by one. So discrimination, buddhi is translated as intellect or discrimination. Discrimination not in sense of racial or sexual discrimination, but discrimination refers to the ability to distinguish between what is real and what is unreal, what is right, what is wrong, what is moral, what is immoral, what is permanent and what is temporary. So mostly in Vedanta, when they talk about discrimination, it's to distinguish the temporary world that we see from the permanent existence, which is Sat Chit Anand, which is consciousness, which is the Lord. And that is the main things that we have to discriminate, not only outside in the world, but also within us. There is the body, mind and intellect, which is temporary, and the consciousness, which is eternal. And wisdom is the ability to choose that in life, do I want to choose the temporary and get temporary pleasures, or do I want to choose the permanent? Do I want to choose worldly pleasures, or do I want to choose God? So that is what we have to distinguish. Asammoha. Sammoha is delusion. So what is delusion? The main delusion that we have is that this world is real. And God is something which is not visible to us. So we are not, you know, convinced how to know or see God. But the world we see. So we think the world is real and God is questionable. But what the true understanding is that God alone is the reality, is the substance. And this world is an appearance upon it. Like on the movie screen, the screen is permanent. And the movie appears, even though the movie looks very real when we are watching. But at the end, when it ends, then we realize that the screen alone was there. Also, this delusion is translated as seeing the snake upon the rope in the semi-darkness. The rope is the reality. The snake is projected, or seeing the mirage on sand. Because of the sun shining, the sand looks like it has a oasis, has lake, has trees. So that is a delusion. So similarly, this world is God, or consciousness is the substratum, which is a reality. And this world, even though appears real, is an illusion. You and I don't see that because we are so caught in the world. Just as when we are in a dream, we don't know the world is dream. It's only when we wake up, then we perceive that, okay, the world was a dream. Similarly, the realized masters tell us that this world which you think is real is actually a dream, because they have woken up to their higher state of reality. So asammoha is non-delusion. Kshama is forgiveness. Forgiveness is, one is how Jesus taught us, you know, to forgive those who have done you harm. But forgiveness also includes patience, understanding, the ability to see the other person's point of view. Because suppose somebody has harmed us, and if you don't forgive, then all the time you are holding resentment within you, especially if it's a person who is a position of authority or somebody on you. And so when you forgive yourself inside, you free your mind of that hurt, of that of that resentment, of that anger. And also it helps the other person, because there is a freedom from this mutual conflict, a feeling of anger and all that. And it helps both people. It helps the one who has hurt and the one who has been hurt. It does not mean one should become a doormat, but the point is that if you keep holding the resentment inside and do not forgive, then you will keep on prolonging the hurt. That's why Jesus had said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So that way he freed them from the sin and he freed himself. But obviously the law of karma will apply. So a person who has done something wrong, even if you forgive, he or she will have to bear the consequences of their karma. But at least you are free of the resentment, the weight and all that. Also, it like somebody may say, "Oh, I said hi to this lady and smiled at her in the morning and she didn't even reply. She was so rude." But maybe if you look into her situation, maybe she had some bad news about her mother that morning, or maybe she was up all night with a sick child. So to automatically assume that somebody is rude or somebody is, again, one has to be patient and forgiven and to understand why this person behaves the way they are. The next value that Bhagwan gives is satyam or truth. So truth has two meanings, two ways to interpret. One is alignment between what I think, what I speak and what I do. So the thought, speech and action, when they are united, when they are aligned, that is called truth. Otherwise, if you think something else and you say something else and do the third thing, then that's not truthful. Another interpretation of truth is that what is said in the scriptures is the truth. Mm-hmm. And the true abidance in that knowledge of the scriptures is truth. So that is the second way. Then Dhamma and Shama. Dhamma is control of the senses and Shama is control of the mind. So the senses, when do we control? If the senses are overindulging in the world or maybe doing a wrong thing, you know, senses are, they're seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, walking, talking, speaking and so on. But if these actions are either contrary to spirituality or overindulgent, then they need to be controlled. But a person may control the senses. I may not do the wrong thing, but my mind is still thinking about those tempting things. You know, I wish I could have done that. Why can't I do it? So Bhagwan Sri Krishna calls such a person mithyachara sa uchyate. He is said to be a hypocrite, where he pretends inside that, where he pretends outside that I am a very holy person, I don't do all these things, but inside his mind is full of desires, vasanas and tendencies. So just controlling the sense organs is not enough. One should also control our mind, and that can be done through the intellect. And ultimately, the mind and intellect are controlled by the self. So one who is established in the self, within the truth, then from that status, he is able to control his mind and his senses. So the more one is established in spirituality, the easier it becomes to control the mind. Next, we have a pair of opposites, three pairs, so joy and sorrow, birth and death, and fear and fearlessness. So pair of opposites will always come. In life, you will have sometimes problems, sometimes things will go well. Sometimes, you know, you see birth and you see death, you see success and failure. So I heard a story of this man who was working in a saw factory, where he operated a saw, and every time the wood came, he would cut the wood with his saw in half, and that's all he did all day. And soon he got so used to it that even when he was home, he would be moving his hand as if he's sawing the wood. So similarly, you and I have got into the habit of sawing, where we divide the world into good and bad, likes and dislikes, rag and dvesh, and this is mine and this is not mine, and this is my community, that is not my community, my race, my color. So So one who has gone beyond these pairs of opposites and sees the whole world as that, Vasudev Kutum, is called one who has gone beyond these pairs of opposites. Then Ahimsa was the next one. Ahimsa means non-violence, which Gandhiji had popularized all over the world. So Ahimsa is at three levels. Violence can be at the action level, where you can hurt somebody physically, but that may heal after a few hours. But speech, if you say something hateful or angry, then that can last for weeks, months, even years. Sometimes people may remember. So violence can be at the physical level, at the speech level, or the third one is violence at the mental level, where you think angry thoughts or hateful thoughts about an individual. And so that is also violence. And the saints describe that not only that can be physical violence, speech violence, but also violence at the thought level. And all of them create karmas, bad karmas, and all of them should be avoided. So true ahimsa is at all three levels. Then the next one, we talked about samatvam. Samatvam yoga uchyate, Bhagavan says that in these pairs of opposites, one who is able to remain calm in heat and cold, joy and sorrow, success and failure, such a person is my devotee, which he says in the 12th chapter. Then we talked about contentment. The next one is tushti or contentment. And tushti, contentment, is that at the end of the day, you work hard, but then whatever I have got, Lord, I'm thankful. It is your grace and your blessings. So at the end of the day, to be content with what I have and to be happy with what I have is a very important virtue. And even in the 12th chapter, Bhagavan says, Santushta Satatam Yogi, one who is attached to me is always content with what he has. And so then such a person is not going around with a begging bowl, asking the world to give me little happiness, asking the people, give me little this or give me little that, because he knows that everything comes from God and God gives him what he needs and he's happy with that. He works hard, obviously. It's not that he doesn't work, but in the end he is contented. Then danam. Danam is a very, very important virtue which we should practice. Because in our life, what we go around thinking that what can I get out of it? So the teacher said, look at what you can give, not what you can get. Who is a truly wealthy person? A truly wealthy person is not one who has a lot of money, but one who has given away a lot of money, who has given, done a lot of charity. So wealth is determined by what you give, not what you have. And by giving, you never get less. You actually always get more. First of all, the universe is so infinite that whatever we give to a good cause will be replaced by God or by the universe. Secondly, the spiritual benefit that you get by charity, by giving, is immense. So we should never underestimate the value of charity, the value of giving. Find a good cause, good organization, even a person. Say there is a young girl who needs to go to college and doesn't have money for a tuition. Putting her through college can be a great charity also. So charity is not only money, but it can be in terms of labor. Like yesterday we had a golf tournament and the large numbers of volunteers came and it was a very successful tournament. And most of them gave their entire day. And it went so smoothly where we could see the yajna spirit. So charity can be in giving your time, giving your effort. Maybe if somebody is lonely and has lost a parent or somebody, you can go share your love with them and kindness and compassion. It can be giving vegetables or fruits that are grown in your backyard, clothes that you don't need. So charity can be in many ways. But one definitely must give. This reminds me of a story of a man we can call Ramaswamy, who his principle was that I'm not going to hurt anybody. Throughout my life, I'm not going to hurt anybody. He never hurt anybody. He never did anything wrong. And he always did what he was supposed to do. And he did get you know, his salary, he worked for it, he kept it for himself. He said, as long as I earn and I keep, as long as I'm not hurting anybody, not cheating anybody, my life will go fine. And so he lived his entire life in that way, living his life in a good way. And then when he died, the file went to Chitragupta, who is the cosmic accountant, and he looked at his debit. You know, in life we have credits and debits. Credit are good deeds and debits are the bad deeds. And he looked at the debits and found no debits at all. Everything was clean, the white page. He said, even saints sometimes don't have that. How is this that this person didn't do anything wrong? He was amazed. And then he turned the page to look for credits and he found no credits. Even that was zero. So this person had not harmed anybody, but had not gone out of his way to help anybody. He lived his life for himself and did for himself. And so Chitragupta had never met a person like that whose both the pages were white or completely blank and no credit, no debit. He has not done anything good. He has not done anything bad. He has not done anything good, so we can't send him to heaven. He has not done anything bad, so we can't send him to the other place. So where do we place him? He was so confused. So he went to Brahmaji, the creator, and he said, Lord, you created this individual. Brahmaji says, yes. He said, well, look at his sheet. And Brahmaji looked at his sheet. They were all white, no positives, no negatives. We don't know what to do with him. Where should we put him? Heaven, hell, where? They didn't know. So they said, let's go to Lord Sri Krishna, the ultimate. So they go there. And they show him the two pages, and Sri Krishna is watching, and in his mischievous way, as he always was, he looked, and at the bottom of the credits, he found one little microscopic spot, and he looked at it carefully, and this man had given 2 cents, 2 paise, 2 cents to a beggar when he was 6. So the only thing, good thing he had done in his life was given 2 cents to a beggar at age 6. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, you know what? Return him his 2 cents and send him back to earth to try again. So the point of this story is that it's not only enough to not harm anybody, but it is our duty to give back, because God has given us so much that it is important to share, and not with the attitude that I am giving, but with the attitude that whatever he has given is for me to share. So then one doesn't get ego or arrogance. And as some of you must have heard, they say that at least 5 to 10% of your income should be given in charity. So at the end of the year, if you have a certain amount of income, then next year 5 to 10% must be given in charity. And that has tremendous spiritual benefit. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, they all come from me. All of these qualities, good or bad, they all come from me, good and bad thoughts, they all come from me, good and bad actions, I support them. So then somebody may think, okay, if my bad actions also are from God and my bad thoughts are from God, then why should I be punished? Punish God for all these bad things. Why should I get the punishment? They are all from God. So then I was listening to Swami Bodhatmanandaji, and he has given a very beautiful explanation for that. So what he says is there is Samanya Karana and Vishesh Karana. Mm-hmm. Samanya means general and Vishesha means specific. Mm-hmm. So to give an example, we can all understand. The Chinmaya Mission does a Gita chanting competition every year. Now that is done in all the centers throughout the world. And it was Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda's desire, and he's the one who started the Gita chanting competition in all the centers. Now the place where the chanting competition, where the children are taught, it is in the Chinmaya Mission. The idea came from Swami Chinmayananda, from the Chinmaya Mission. The chanting comes from Swami Brahmanandaji, you know, who is from Chinmaya Mission, either on GitaChanting.net or we get CDs. So the location, then the teachers who are teaching the children are also volunteers of the Chinmaya Mission. So Chinmaya mission becomes the Samanya Karana or the general reason for the Gita chanting competition. Now what is the Vishesh Karana? It is that suppose there are 10 children who are being taught, and so the 10 children are studying for 6 or 8 months, and at the end of that they have a competition. Now out of 10 children, one gets the first place, second place and third place, and then 7 children don't get anything at all. What distinguishes them? The child who has worked hard, who has studied, who has memorized, she gets first place, and then somebody gets second and third. So in this case, one can say, well, since Chinmaya Mission did the Gita chanting competition, award should go to Chinmaya Mission. No, award doesn't go to Chinmaya Mission, because Chinmaya Mission is the Samanya Karana. Award or the prize goes to the child who has worked good, and the first 3 children get the prizes, and the 7 who have not worked hard don't get prizes. So similarly, the Lord is the substratum for the whole universe. Everything comes from Him. He gives us everything, but then it is our choice. We become the Vishesh Karana, whether we do good or bad with what God has given us, and accordingly we get rewarded or punished. And again, we don't get punished by God, but we get punished by our own sins in the form of karmas. So this is what we have studied so far, that in this universe, whatever we see is the Lord's creation. Today we talked about all the subtle qualities like knowledge, discrimination, non-delusion, forgiveness, truth and control, and so on. And then next week we will talk about the gross creation that we see, the 5 elements and the birds, animals, plants, and all that. And how did the creation start, and who created, and what is the process of creation? All that will be covered next week. Thank you. Hari Om. Sri Krishna says that this divine power of Maya comes from me, but if you want to overcome it, make me your refuge. Mame vaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. So make me your refuge, make me your goal, then you will be able to get out of this delusion. And the scriptures and the Mahatmas and the Acharyas have written these scriptures to guide us to come out of this delusion. Because they have, see, it's like they have already seen the path, and so they are pointing out to us out of compassion. So delusion is my own ignorance, but because I let the power of Maya overcome me. So the result of that is delusion, and most people are happy to stay in delusion. They don't want to get out of it.
They don't know any better.
Yeah, they don't know any better because they have never heard this. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Lata?
Yeah, you said not to focus too much on the karma, he said. You be grateful for what you can do.
Right.
But how does that underline our behavior, our actions in the world, and our own existence
right.
in this human form?
Right.
How
right.
all that tie in?
Yeah, no, karma does, the kind of body I get depends on karma. See, karma determines the body, and then the body determines future karmas. So with this human body, I do karmas, which then determine not only this life, but future life. So the law of karma is very important. So one, what I meant was, one way, if you get a sorrowful situation, one way to look at it is a result of my karmas. And then you think, oh, I've done something bad, so something bad is happening, which is the truth. But another way to look at this situation is that this opportunity is for me to improve. There is some goodness even in this difficulty, even in this sorrow. There is something good that will come out of it. So look at what is good. Or is there something in my personality that needed to be improved because of which this situation has come? So think of it as that there is a divine doctor, and even sometimes a doctor has to give you a painful injection or do some painful surgery to make you well. So even this illness or this sorrow, is there is a higher, better purpose in that. So the same situation, you can give it a positive turn instead of saying, oh, why am I suffering because of my karmas? Or this is some way, something for me to improve and to learn. So what they say, that the lesson, unless you learn the lesson will be repeated. Unless you pass. Like if you don't pass third grade, you will have to keep doing third grade before you go to fourth grade. Here in this country, they don't do it, but in India, they do that. If you don't pass, they won't promote you. So similarly, when sorrows come, if I don't learn the lesson, the sorrow will be repeated. So learn the lesson from it. That's what I meant to say.
I have one more question.
Sure.
May I? On the shloka 2, you were talking about Saptarishis.
Yeah.
And Devas. So in this particular chapter, the Saptarishis are like five elements?
That we'll do next week. But yeah, no, there are seven. Sapta means seven. So they are the five, not the elements, but the tanmatras. Tanmatras are the subtle elements, pre-elements, before it becomes air, space, fire, water, earth. The five elements, there are tanmatras, the subtle form from which this grossified world is seen.
They mix with each other.
So they mix with each other. If you, there is a book called Tattva Bodh where they talk about this grossification. Maybe if I have... That one you need a chart and all, it's hard to explain, but it is basically the subtle elements then combine to make these five elements,
and then
the ego and the mind and intellect. So those seven are represented by the Saptarishis. But the Saptarishis are the Maharishis, you know, like Pulastya, Atri Rishi, you know, Kashyap, Vasishtha, Valmiki. So these seven great rishis were the ones, and we'll talk in more detail about them next week. That the next shloka talks about Maharshaya Sapta Purve and the Manus and how the creation came and what is Gotra and all. So we'll be talking about that.
Yes, I wanted to learn that.
Yeah, yeah. Thank next you. Week we'll talk about the Gotras. Yeah, and all
okay,
that.
Yes. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so we'll do the closing prayer. कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि यद्य सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत् ॐ असतो मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मा अमृतं गमय ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ओम् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओके दक्षा डू यू वांट टू डू द आरती यू हैव द पिक्चर यू कैन अनम्यूट विल यू बी सिंगिंग द आरती और यू वांट अस टू सिंग
कैन आई सिंग विद यू
नो वी कैन नॉट सिंग बिकॉज टू ऑन जूम टू पीपल कैन नॉट सिंग इट लुक्स ब्रोकन गो हेड एंड सिंग इट्स फाइन
Okay.
If you know, just we can so we can see Gurudev's picture.
We can start with her.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and yeah, sure. You can sing. We can start if you want. Arati
Shri Chinmaya Sadguru Ki Divya Roop Murati Karuna Ki Arati Sadguru Ki चरणों में उनके शांति समाए शरणागत की भ्रांति मिटाए पाप ताप संताप हरण की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की वेद उपनिषद गीता को गाया धर्म सनातन फिर से जगाया, शुद्ध नीति प्रीति शंकर की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की सिद्ध बाड़ी की तपो भूमि में नित्य विराजे गुरु हमारे भक्त हृदय आनंद श्रोत की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की
आरती सद्गुरु की
महाराज की जय। थैंक यू सो मच फॉर द आरती। एवरीबडी कैन प्लीज टेक द आरती एंड जस्ट रिमेंबर भगवान श्री कृष्णा एंड पूज्य गुरुदेव, बिकॉज ऑफ देयर ग्रेस वी हैव दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी। शरद, हाउ अबाउट शरद? या विल आई हैव सम मेन डू इट? तो विल सी एवरीबडी नेक्स्ट वीक। थैंक यू। हरिओम।